settle in, get comfortable, let our journey begin as we meet the hosts, internationally acclaimed mediums, Nick and Sylvia Avery.
Avery, and welcome to Spirit's Work, the show that's designed to stretch your mind and broaden your understanding about life on Earth, life after death, and life in other dimensions. Spirit's Work is a paranormal, metaphysical, and spiritual show that has virtually no boundaries in its content. The information we are able to bring is without religious bias or persuasion, and we believe in everyone's right to their own beliefs and views. What we do as spirit mediums is you the spirit world's perspective on the nature of our existence, and I hope you may find inspiration, upliftment, motivation, and empowerment through listening to those who continue to walk with us and watch over us.
Hello, I'm Mick Avery, and on this week's show, the spirit world is going to be discussing love. What is this emotion? Is it an emotion? Is it a thought? Is it just something of the earth plane? And what about in the afterlife or on other planets? What significance is it really to us as individuals? We are also authors, as well as doing this program, and we have four books that are full of groundbreaking information that are out on general release. They can be found on our website at www.spirit-teaching.com, on amazon.com, or ordered at any bookstore. They are educational, life-affirming, and life-altering for people to significantly form a more advanced and self-aware approach to the world we live in, and life after death. So it releases the fear if you have knowledge of it. And our transcripts of our work with the spirit guide Gregory Hay, who will be appearing on this program. Our book titles are The Spirit Within, Spirit Walks with Gregory, The Soul Group, Its Meaning, Magic and Imagery, and Journeys of the Inner Songbird, which is actually only available from our website at spirit-teaching.com. As well as Spirit's Work on Mondays at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on bloginservice.com, we have another show called The Spirit Teaching Show, and that's every Tuesday night at 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on artistfirst.com. So I'm a deep trance medium, which means I have the ability to completely hand over my body to the spirit world so they may use it to speak through, and I know absolutely nothing about what has happened during this time. I go into the deep trance state and lend my body and vocal cords to a spirit being, and in this case it is Gregory Hay, who was born on this earth in 1705. My spirit and my consciousness are then taken on a journey to the spirit world by the scientific group of guides in charge of this particular aspect of the procedure and taken somewhere known only to them until they send me back again into my body when Gregory Hay leaves. I will not know of anything that has happened during that event. I might, of course, remember something of the journey of that they've taken me on, and but this doesn't happen every time. And it's always different in any case, because then I don't come to expect something that might happen, you know?
Mm. Yes, okay.
It's always a new experience,
yes,
anyway.
Yes, because you have to actually be completely blank in your mind, like a meditation, really, isn't it?
Yes,
that's
right. And
then they can take you off.
Yeah.
So, okay.
Okay.
All right, then. Well, Mick's going to get ready.
That's enough of me.
Yeah, he's going to go off. And I'll just tell you a little bit more about Gregory Hay. Gregory is the spokesperson for a group of spirits in the spirit world who got together to form a group called the White Cloud Group. White Cloud is actually a shining one who is in charge of the group. And the rest of the group are made up of eminent scholars, scientists, physicists, philosophers, medical people, as well as ordinary people. And between them, they have vast knowledge and insight. So it means that basically Gregory has access to this information all the time that we are speaking to him, so he can be fed things that are special gifts of the people that work with him. If he doesn't know it, then they can tell him things. So basically, he's the spokesperson. Although he is very knowledgeable himself, it means that it's limitless to what he has access to. And they've come to help us to understand the nature of our existence. And this is obviously our eternal existence as spirit beings, and hopefully point us in a more positive direction by helping us to think beyond the constraints of our human minds to help us and to help the planet, basically. So, well, I'd just like to say thank you. And I think Gregory's here now.
Hello, Faye.
Hi, Gregory.
With absolute love, as always, it is the energy that we bring ourselves, that we wish to be in your presence, not because we have invited ourselves, but because this is a situation of opportunity that has been brought about between our relationship with each other, we on our side of life in the spirit world, and you in the physical state of reality.
And today we're going to be talking about love.
Yes.
Yes. So I don't know where you would like to start in that.
Well, it is most interesting because in the physical life, people look upon the emotion of love as something that is perhaps purely connected to the human life form, to the human experience. You look at yourself, you observe your actions and your responses in the way in which you use love to operate the whole structure of your society. Yet, perhaps many elements of it are so misunderstood by so many people. Love is in fact the energy, the cement, if you like, of the universe. It is that energy which allows all beings really to exist. If it did not exist, the spirit world would not exist, in a sense, because it is the energy which binds it. Now, I understand that many people will feel that love is a particular gift when one is looking at it from the point of view of a relationship. It is something that you would always visit as being a part of what is fundamental to a relationship of any form. And that can be a relationship of love between people, members of within a family, or people of within a relationship that is non-genetic. It may be that this is not of the family idyllic, but is something which has augmented a friendship. Love itself is an energy purity. It is not just something that wells up from pheromonic activity or chemical structure within the physical body system. It is something that overwhelms individuals at times within their space, within their life. And the experience of it can be measured, in a sense, in the well-being state of what you feel. It is not just something which enlarges your eyes or makes you glow from within because you are in a state of love. The energy of love itself is something that is grown from within, but is also depicted largely upon the outer layers of self. If you are in a state of love, for example, yes, you will glow from within. But it will also be something that radiates upon your outer being, upon the surface of your skin. It might even become quite translucent, or illuminous, because your state of love has invigorated you to such a state, to such an enhancement, if you like, that in truth of point, you shine. And you shine because your vibration has become lifted by the energy of love you have created within you. This is primarily to do with a physical situation, one would think. It may be that it is purely driven by that. By the animal form that you are in relation to someone else. But it is also something that is orchestrated through spirituality, through the great upliftment that awareness brings to any one person. Love in itself is a beautifying energy. It brings you into the synergy of the world in which you live. It allows you to express self with greater awareness, with greater affection, not just for fellow human beings, but also creates another outer awareness of your surrounding environment. So if you are in a state of love, if you find yourself in that precious place, you, in fact, become more aware and enlivened by the things around you. It may be just your home environment, or it may well be that every action in your day is orchestrated in a different way because of the love that you are experiencing. And it is that love energy that is the intrinsic part of what the spirit world is. So when you feel then that you are in this state of purity, does that mean that it is the all-essential pathway toward enlightenment? For sure, it is part of an essential ingredient. No one who is seeking enlightenment will be able to obtain that state of being if they are necessarily grumpy, or if they are negative, or if they are bringing negative feelings or thoughts to themselves or to others. The state of enlightenment of being is, in fact, not something that you are going to necessarily be aware of either. It is just, I suppose you could say, the state of absolute love awareness, a form of bliss that you may quite easily and simply become empowered by. You see, dear friends, these states of energy are not just things that you put labels upon. They are elements within the universe which allow you as a being to transcend the thoughts of yesterday. If you look upon thoughts that you had of yesterday, you may see that if you experience further energy of love, then if those thoughts of yesterday had left a negative impact, the feelings of love would overpower them. Quite simply, that when you reach a certain state of awareness, or even the beginning of a state of awareness, the very first emotion that is touched by you, that is brought to you, perhaps through communication with the spirit world, the very first emotion that comes is a sense of well-being, a sense of wonder, and a sense of a form of love that you may not have experienced previously. Now, other things that love may bring about is healing. The actual element of healing is something very precious to the spirit world, and also should be something that involves beings in any way, at any time, within any day. Healing itself is something that is called upon within the energy of love. If you wish to be bringing healing to someone else, you will send your loving thoughts to that person if it is for distant healing, and you will ask the spirit world to join you and to help you to heal using the energy of love. So you are inviting so much more of it into your universe, into your dimension. You are, in fact, invoking a greater possibility that you may produce more of it yourself. Not for you to hang on to, not for you to hold and keep secure within yourself, but to give it to someone else. I suppose, dear friend, is the most important issue to do with love, that if you feel it rising within you, then you need to give it to someone else, not in a physical way necessarily, but that you need to send it. You may do this mentally. You may do this in a way, either perhaps by actual physical touch, or just to give that sense of feeling, that sense of being that you are experiencing. This does not necessarily have to be another human being. It may be another species, an animal, dog, cat. It may be a plant. It may be that your energy of love enables the plants around you, for example, to become more vibrant. And yes, in fact, they will be. Plants do not just continue on in their existence purely through the nourishment or the nutrients they receive from the ground or from the air, not necessarily purely from the sunlight that they receive from the heavens. It is also to do with the nature of their existence, one with another. And if you as a being come within that existence, you will perhaps firstly be touched by the love experience that is shared by all those beings in that peace. I know that you may find this difficult to comprehend, that possibly if you are looking at a garden or some such thing as that, if you are just looking at a bowl of flowers or a plant in a pot, how can you say that that plant is exuding love when it is something that you are not looking at, but that you are not necessarily experiencing? But, my dear friends, if you actually remain within the vicinity of that plant, or you walk within that forest or that garden, it will become that the plant will gradually respond to you, or that you will respond to it, its presence. You will perhaps look upon it in a different way, seeing that God's hand upon it, in the manufacture of it, in the genetic offering that it brings to you, is something of a delight, something that brings you empowerment and awareness. And this also is a form of love, awareness. So what I am saying then, dear friends, is that when you therefore respond to this energy, this seeing that... So what you are doing is you are making a judgment within an area of image that you receive of the plant in your vicinity. You are also responding to it being present and the feeling that its presence brings to you. Your your response is not an automatic response. It is something that is conjured up because it invigorates certain elements, not just within the retina of your eye, but also how it makes you feel mentally. And that is something that you reflect back in the form of loving energy. You do not have to conjure love as a form of energy within your mind. All you need to do is feel inspired by that presence. And that in itself, the inspiration is what brings love to the surface from deep within you. Not something that is purely physical, but also something that is related to your spirit, the spirit that you are. In this way, you make contact with your spirit and you yourself, your inner feelings that come to the surface of your awareness. This in itself is something that brings the energy of love to your environment.
Yes, that's interesting, because you
say... I'm so glad you thought so, friend.
You saying about flowers responding and that sort of thing, it reminds me of what Nick and I did, and what other people can do, is that we made our garden such a lovely little sanctuary, and in, as far as nature goes, you know, because we had water features and we had a beautiful, we were into plants and things, and it was just like a little haven, really. And every time anybody ever walked into the garden, as soon as they shut the garden gate, they would say, they would feel something special. And it, I'm sure it wasn't just the spiritual aspect of what we do. I'm sure it was the love.
Exactly so. Yes, that is what I'm saying, dear friend, that you see, you can actually bring this ability of love into the plants that surround you.
Mm.
You may invigorate them with your presence because you are a living being. And the living tissue is not just something that spreads beyond your field of being able to physically touch something. It is something that relates to your auric field. As you yourself as a being experience love from within, growing that love, bringing awareness, further awareness to the spirituality and consciousness of self, and raising that energy vibration level, what you are also doing is you are drawing a fundamental shift in your auric energy field. And the expanse of that is something that plants are very sensitive to. And also, of course, other animals and birds, fishes even, will be very sensitive to these energies. I am drawn to remind you of a situation that developed at a lakeside that you were present on. I believe it was called St. Mary's Lake.
Yes.
In Montana.
That's right, yes.
And I am drawn to this presence of memory, dear friend, because this was something that was experienced by you, that was created through your loving awareness towards other beings. And that was you actually, if you remember, that you looked upon a fish in the lake that was some distance away, maybe some 100 yards or whatever it was. It was some distance away and it was jumping in the morning mist. And that as you extended your thoughts and your loving awareness toward it, it actually swam toward you and it came right into the lake shore.
Mm-hmm.
And it stayed within the shallows and looked and observed you and stayed within your presence. This is what I am saying, dear friend, that just within that memory, that is something that evokes the ability of loving awareness to be extended. I will please to cite other elements. Mm-hmm. That, for example, when you were both with in your garden, that the experiences that you had were that birds actually descended around you.
Mm-hmm.
and were happy to be in your space purely because of the loving awareness that you were bringing to that environment. It was something that not only brought and orchestrated their lives toward you, but that they were actually happy in being in that vibration. And this is something that others may invigorate in their own lives. Mm. If you yourselves, dear friends, go upon your daily walk or whatever that is, even if that is in an evening, you are able to perhaps go for a walk, and this is obviously very good for you physically, but also something that can raise your awareness and your mentality to do with raising your consciousness and bringing you into the state of harmony with self and invigorating the element of love within you. So even if you are just walking along your neighborhood, wherever it is that you live, you may come to a place of peace within this walk. Not that you are just looking at houses, but that you are in fact looking at the natural elements around you. And in doing this, you are invigorating self. You are not only just being to yourself in a selfish way, but you are also bringing out the energy of your response to what you see. So may well be that it could be difficult for you to assign this possibility to your thought process, because it may well be that your neighborhood isn't very pretty. Perhaps then go and try and find a park or something like that that you are able to walk in to experience these natural feelings of oneness that you may create between yourself and your natural environment. It may also, of course, be something that you can create within your own home, within your dwelling, just by having the things that invigorate and release the energy of love within you, things that bring you happiness to your environment. Just simple things enable your relationship between yourself and your environment to grow, which brings love to the surface of your energy field.
Yes, because we were in the city. We were in the middle of a city at the time, so it's not that we were in the countryside when we did this with our garden and our home and made it, you know, like that.
Yes, exactly. So
you know, you can do it anywhere. It doesn't matter where you live.
Yes, and it does not, of course, have to be a large space either.
No.
It may be just a small space.
Yes.
It can even just be a little balcony that you have at the outside of your flat, perhaps.
Yes. Yes.
It is still something that you can bring great attention to, that you can create a little element of a different environment.
It's interesting that because you were saying about leaving these the loving energy in these places. I was thinking about when people do healing.
Yes.
You can tell when you even walk in the room. It just feels like a loving feeling.
Yes, of course. Similar, I suppose, you could say, to when a person walks into a sanctuary or a place of prayer, that you feel the essence of the prayers within the walls of that building. You may even observe the element of loving awareness that has gone into the making of that building. You see, this is not something that is just that you look upon as a physical actuality. It is something that also brings and invigorates a sense of oneness, a sense of awareness with the power of the ability of the gifts that being put into that place, even in the scribing of it, in the design of it, or that it pleases you, that it reflects emotion intent within you, but that it also brings you awareness of their knowledge and gifts that were a part of the presence of the Creator, if you like. And this in itself brings you an awareness of your own inner presence, just by being there, by existing in that moment. And as you say, dear friend, in the healing environment, you will experience the energies of just being there. For example, if you are waiting in a queue to be healed, or in a line, as you say, on this particular side of life, that, you see, you can just be sitting there waiting your turn. And you will feel, no doubt, the energy of the place, the energy of the system that has been brought about, the connection between the spirit world, no matter whether it is invoked by that person or not. It may be that they are using some form of religion in order to invoke this practice. It makes no difference. It is still the spirit world who are involved within that activity. You may call it the energy of God. It is just a label. Matters not. It is just really that what you are doing is you are connecting with those within the spirit world who have passed or who are yet to have a physical life. You are bringing their attention to the possibility that they may transfer their love as gifts to you. Open your awareness to the love that exists within you so that you may be instrumental in physical change, in inner awareness. The healing possibility of the energy of love coming to that being and helping them in their road to recovery. Love, in fact, can actually change the cellular observation, if you like. The way in which you look at a person who is in a state of love, you will look at them and observe that their illumination, their cellular activity, has actually changed. It has become heightened because of their state of awareness of love.
I'd like to say thank you for those who may have just joined us on Spirit's Work. You're listening to Spirit Guide Gregory Hay, being channeled by Deep Trance Medium Mick Avery, and we're talking about love. I'm Sylvia Avery, welcome. So, what about animals? We know that some form relationships for life.
Yes. And they have love.
And they have love.
Just the same as you do. They feel invigorated within one another's presence, not purely or simply as a chemical pheromonic action or reaction to one another's presence. They actually feel and invigorate their own inner awareness within each other. And there, it is not just a relationship situation. It is something that is tied to their spirit. So a pair of swans, for example, will in fact do everything almost in unison together. They will cooperate not purely through their animal instinct, but through their communication process that they bring one to another. This is not something that you will readily recognize necessarily. It is a system of behavior that may echo even the dullest of minds and bring some understanding to them that these different animals may in fact have just the same amount of pleasures, the same amount of awareness, understanding that you may have.
So, are there any animals that don't feel love?
Well, yes, my dear friend. I would have to say there are some. but not many. It is that, for example, that ants actually do not have an element of love within them. Bees, on the other hand, do. Which is quite surprising, I suppose, because they are almost a form of identity between them. They are quite similar, apart from the fact that one has wings and the other does not, if you follow me.
Yes, yes.
But genetically, they are very similar. And yet, bees themselves thrive on well-being. Ants, on the other hand, do understand well-being, but they do not actually invigorate it. They do not invite it within the order of the placement of their society, if you like. It is not something that is important to them. They just are. And themselves just rely upon the state of being of each and every other ant. And if one becomes ill or sick, they merely use it for the benefit of the group. They do not see an attachment in the emotional state or in the emotional way that bees do.
Hmm.
Whereas bees, on the other hand, you see, they actually become aggravated, they become more symptomatic of things that are brought to them. They react in different ways to ants. You see, if an ant, I am well aware that ants also become angry, and so that is an element response of emotion that they show. But this is something that is far more automatic within an ant than it is within a bee. A bee itself is far more at home being peaceful and actually thrives on being able to just be a bee and actually move within and around different plants in order to continue constructing and striving to maintain the society it lives in. It may, of course, be not a type or form of species that actually is forming that larger society. It may just be a solitary creature or just a small group-forming creature. And it is not to say that either these will be specifically love-orientated or not. I'm not saying that they are, but just that their instincts drive them one way and their emotions and intent have a feeling, bring another element to their lives.
Mm.
So just because you observe it as a bee does not necessarily mean that it is without emotion or feeling, and does not necessarily mean that it is devoid of the emotion of love response that exists within the spirit world.
So, and we know we've talked before about things like wells, well, the emotion of love.
Yes.
And dolphin.
Yes, and elephant and gorilla, and many other forms of primate also exist within that same energy field. They also feel the same wonderment, the same joys that you yourselves may feel when in the emotional state of love. However, the pathway towards that may be very different. It might be the case that a group of primates will actually be invigorated, for example, by the setting of the sun, that it is something that they will actually stop all activity to experience, because it is something that sets the seal upon the day that brings to them the silence and stillness that they need to maintain their awareness. You see, just in the same way as I said to you before, that horses, in fact, bring a form of meditation to self, so too do many other species of animal. It isn't just something that is orchestrated through human intent because they are more consciously aware, or because that awareness grows their love within them and it is a more pure love than those of other animals. It is just really that different animals experience different things. Different abilities enable them to explore the gifts they have in a different way. However, many forms of animals bring about meditation within their state of being.
Do other alien races on other planets have experienced love?
Yes, of course. Absolutely so. Just the same as many other species, alien races or whatever they are, species that do not normally habit the Earth vibration will experience love or the opposite of hate.
Mm.
They will actually experience all different mannerisms of the state of energy in between that. And this is not, I say again, something that is purely pheromonic or chemical or to do with their natural born instinct within self. It is also to do with the way in which they make contact with their inner self, not their inner child, but their inner self, the spirit essence that is within them and the actual energy of the universal force of all life, the creation of all things. Many people on your side of life, for example, feel invigorated and invoke the power of their religious belief or their faith and say that that is something that is instrumental in their ability to become aware of love within them. That is a matter for them to decide that that is the element that brings that awareness to their possibility. What I'm saying is they do not necessarily need it to fulfill that dream, to fulfill that presence of the all-seeing creation of awareness.
Mm.
It is to say, naturally, so that in itself is an energy that can be brought about by any being through any means, so long as it is to do with their awareness and their act of giving towards something or someone else.
Is there love at first sight?
There is love at first sight, but however, I would have to say that this actually has a form of essence within the spirit itself. This is not something that you just claim as how you respond to the form of beauty, for example. I know and am very aware that you base many relationship ideals upon beauty or the semblance of what actually brings about the pheromonic activity, the natural draw, if you like, between relationships, between one and another. This is not purely the element of love that exists, because it is to do with the purest love between your spirit and their spirit. So it may well be that your love at first sight inclination is something that actually not only is invigorated by their presence, by their look or your desire, but is also to do with the spirit within. And that is something that you are acknowledging, perhaps, to do with the auric energy of the individual more than the individual themselves, even before they have actually opened their mouths, or even before you are within the space to engage with different pheromonic activity between one and another. This is something that can happen from one side of the room to another, or even from an even larger space between you.
Mm.
And this is something that is present within the spirit.
Because a lot of people often even find it confusing to decipher whether they love somebody or whether they lust for somebody. And
yes.
You know, I mean, people can be married for many, many, many years, but there are definitely different types of love that people experience.
Yes, because there are physical interactions that people will interpret as being forms of love, which in fact they are, but that they are not necessarily to do with spiritual higher awareness or the raising of the consciousness vibration. Although the very act of being in that state may well give you a key to it. I'm not saying that that is not possible.
Because, you know, obviously, I liken the love that we feel for children,
yes,
to the same as animals. It's the innocence, I suppose. I don't know. That, again, invokes a different form of love.
Yes, absolutely so, because what you are observing is something of purity, something that has not been tainted, that still remains intact from the purity sea of which the spirit has come from. And so you will look upon that as a thing of wonder, not just because you are looking at innocence in a physical sense, but you are also observing that purity in the highest possible sense.
So it's more like soul-to-soul love.
Yes, in fact so, yes. Not necessarily, again, as I say, between just purely because this is something to do with a genetic synergy, you see.
Mm.
It is not just that kind of signature.
Mm.
It is also to do with whether that being has been from your soul group or someone who is close to your soul group. That energy vibration that you become fixed to, that brings you reminders of home, of where you are from.
And your soul group is?
And your soul group is the place where you were as a spirit, always feeling that you were home, as I say. It is the place where absolute love awaits you when you return. And that is, I suppose you could say, the element of how your remembrance of it triggers that feeling. And that when you meet with a person who is also from the same soul group, that trigger is what fires off the supreme energy of love between you. Because that is the form and quality, if you like, of the love between you. Now, I'm not saying that it means that all of those beings who are not with their mate from their soul group are lesser forms of love. I'm not saying that at all, but just that these different forms of love are different, and they remain so purely because of the experience prior to you having a physical earth life.
Yeah.
So they are triggering and firing the memories from within a self of the element of love that you existed in within the purity sea before you had a physical life.
So there isn't a limit to how much love that you can have, that you can give?
No, I suppose so, dear friend. The secret to love is that you do not hoard it, you do not keep it to yourself, but that you bring it out, you give it to others. Because the more that you give love, the more you will receive love. The greater the energy element you can give to someone else, the greater the vitality that will come back to you. And this is not to say either that you would bring these forms of, initiate these energies of love, purely and simply for the effect of self-effacement, that you will in fact, in return, receive so much more than you give out. If you have that element of thought within you at the point of giving, it will do you no good whatsoever. It will in fact be restrictive to you.
And the first person that we need to be able to love is ourselves.
that is the very first being. Yes, my dear friend, it is essential that you as a being grow to love who you are within. And you do not do that. If you cannot do that, how can you possibly love anyone else? That isn't to say that this is a selfish act. This is an act of absolute awareness, if you like, that if you finally see and observe the being you are in its truest form and can form a loving relationship with that, if you can understand the fault elements within you in that tone, then you are able to transform them into things that you do like. You are able to forgive yourself if you feel more aware of the love from within you are able to give to self. This isn't a selfish experience, friends. This is something of the connectivity between yourself and the spirit you are. If you fail to do this, how can you possibly bring awareness to the rest of humanity? How may you alter different vibrations within your essence of thinking, within your knowledge, within your gathering of understanding, if you do not feel the element of love that you may bring and give to yourself and those who are around you? Not just other human beings, but animals, plants, the natural world, your environment, and all things you come into contact with every moment of your day. If you behave yourself in a vicious way, in a negative way, you will only bring elements of negativity back to you. Now, I am very well aware that many do not, and yet still negative things happen. But that may be through other energies, through other distinctions. It may be a karmic element. It may be something that is karmically attributed to your genetic family, or something that is brought about through other responses. Seek yourself the finer vibration of love that is within you. Look at yourself and come to understand what you truly are. There you may move forward from that thought, and you may become more pure in how you deliver your energy to the universe.
Well, thank you, Gregory. We're running out of time again.
But yes,
Faith. Wonderful as usual.
With love, as always, in the highest of thought and consciousness, we leave you at this time.
Thank you. Well, thank you very much for those who have joined us. And please do join us again next Monday. And do visit our website on www.spirit-teaching.com. Our books are The Spirit Within, Spirit Walks with Gregory, The Soul Group is Meaning, Magic and Imagery, and Journeys of the Inner Songbird. And so until next time, be peaceful, be positive and focused on your goal, knowing that you're not alone in trying to create a better world. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.